Welcome to the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Thursday, June 3rd, 2021 edition of the program. And I will tell you right off the bat that I'm coming to you live on location. I will be able to disclose very soon what location. I'm excited about it. I think that it's going to be something very, very cool. But for now, we need to keep that a mystery. But that is why you hear me. The way that you hear me, like I am on location coming to you live. So excited about that. Looking forward to sharing more of those details over the next couple of shows and over the next week or so. But in any event, looking forward to today's show because I got some awesome feedback both on Twitter and via email after my conversation with Craig Amsinger yesterday, talking with the host of MLB Tonight on MLB Network. Love having Greg on the program, and got some good mailbag questions. Want to dive into a mailbag and answer some of those questions today. Tomorrow, we will be back with a draft. I have a doozy of a draft topic for tomorrow. Going to be joined by Drew Silva, and we'll have some fun with a couple of other guests tomorrow on the show as we get through a draft. So, in any event, mailbag questions and some really good mailbag questions that I think came out of the conversation yesterday with Greg Amsinger from MLB Network. Greg joined us yesterday, and I'm coming to you today, albeit on the road, from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. Ophthalmology Associates are the doctor's doctors. Their website is youreyedoc.com, youreyedoc.com. That's where you go, and that's where you schedule an appointment with the doctor's doctors at Ophthalmology Associates to get the very best in eye care. It doesn't matter when you last had your eyes checked. Doesn't matter if it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years. It doesn't matter if you even realize that you might need to have your eyes checked. Ophthalmology Associates, the doctors, doctors on the web at youreyedoc.com. Give them a call at 314-966-5000. Let Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Prasadi, and Dr. Andrew Royer help you see your best. Your eyes and your vision, too important not to get the very, very best treatment. And that's where Ophthalmology Associates come in. Give them a call at 314-966-5000. And please, do me a favor. Do us a favor on the show. Tell them you heard about them in the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. 314-966-5000, the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. All right, let's get into some of the mailbag questions right now that I got yesterday after the chat with Greg Amsinger. And, you know, one of the things that Greg and I talked about was how the universal DH could be perceived, or how the universal DH could potentially be implemented as we see, you know, some more injuries to pitchers. Jack Flaherty obviously is an example that hits close to home with the Cardinals as he suffered the oblique injury swinging against the Dodgers the other night. We saw it, you know, with Adam Wainwright a handful of years ago as he dealt with an injury coming out of the batter's box, I believe in Milwaukee against the Brewers. And that ended up, unfortunately, being an Achilles injury that kept him out almost the entire year. He was able to actually get back and pitched out of the bullpen in the playoffs for the Cardinals in 2015 against the Cubs. So he made it all the way back. But again, I don't think that, you know, an injury here or an injury there, like specific injury cases, should necessarily be the impetus to lead to rule changes, and should be, you know, the driving force behind changing the rules of the game. What I do think, though, is that, you know, it's been a long time coming. And in the case of the universal DH, like, I'll take the opposite stance. All right. No pun intended. Like Flaherty, Wainwright, for instance, I think is a perfect case. He was actually hurt in the case of his Achilles injury, trying to bust it out of the batter's box and was injured trying to run out of the box after popping a ball up. It's admirable, right? Like, you run everything out and you don't blame a guy for trying to hustle. You don't blame a guy for getting injured. It's a freak thing, especially in Achilles. But I'll say that it's the complete other end of the spectrum that actually should lead to, I believe, the universal DH being implemented sooner rather than later. And that is that, you know, you're seeing more and more guys, and you're seeing more and more often around baseball, the exact opposite of that. Pitchers that, you know, have either no interest or have been very specifically instructed not to engage, not to risk hurting themselves in the batter's box or coming out of the batter's box or on the base paths. And what that leads to is, you know, non-competition. So I would argue that it's not necessarily the injuries and the guys who are getting hurt from, you know, going all out, from hustling, from taking their at-bats very, very seriously. I don't want to demean anything that pitchers do. And, you know, Jack and I have specifically talked a lot about pitchers as athletes. And I know that all of those guys take a ton of pride in their ability to hit, their ability to contribute offensively, their ability to be more than just pitchers, to be baseball players, guys that pitch, obviously, guys that field their position, guys that can contribute offensively, not just getting down bunts, but can contribute offensively and do so in a manner that could give a National League team a massive advantage. If you have a pitcher that can hit, if you have a pitcher that can handle the bat outside of just sacrifice bunts, it's a huge competitive advantage, right? Like, if you've got a guy like Adam Wainwright, who is always a threat to put the ball in play, and not only put the ball in play, but maybe extra base hits, drive in runs, hit home runs, that's a massive, massive advantage for a team. So I say all of this understanding and respecting that and not wanting to diminish anything that these guys do outside of just pitching. I don't want to pigeonhole them and say that, you know, if you're a pitcher, you should only pitch, all right? But with all of that being said, it's a strategic decision and it is a cost-benefit analysis that is being computed and run by a lot of organizations, and they are coming to the conclusion that it's just not worth it for some of their guys or any of their pitchers, actually, to engage offensively, to engage in the batter's box. It's not worth either the injury risk or, for someone who's not very good at handling the bat, you know, there are outs and there are ways to make outs that are worse than other ways to make outs. So a strikeout, even though we bemoan and decry, you know, the rise of the strikeout rate and the strikeout in Major League Baseball, you know, there are worse ways actually to make outs, especially considering situational baseball. So we're seeing teams, you know, in certain cases instruct guys just not to engage. And if it gets to that point, then what's the point? You know, I understand people who grew up like yours truly watching National League Baseball and watching the double switches and the pinch hitting, especially when the starting pitcher comes out of the game. And I think that sometimes, maybe to a fault or maybe too simplistically, we label that as strategy. We think that there can't be any strategy in the American League game, or there can't be any strategy if you're not, you know, using pinch hitters or replacing pitchers or, you know, utilizing your entire bench, as we see a lot more the case in the National League than the American League. But I would say it's the very opposite right now. And if you have a pitcher or a number of pitchers who are not going to even attempt to try and produce anything offensively, then not only are you lacking any strategy, but you're giving away a portion of the game, 1/27th of your allotted outs over the course of a game every time they come up is just being given away. So wouldn't it behoove all of baseball to eliminate that, to increase the amount of jobs, to increase the average salary for players, because for players that are designated hitters only, perhaps like Nelson Cruz over the last couple of years, you're doubling the amount of teams who are interested. You're doubling the market for their services every time they hit the market. And then you can still use your bench, right? Like, I think one of the things that Greg and I talked about yesterday was it's not illegal to pinch hit in the American League. You can still work matchups. You can still make substitutions, especially defensively, in a game in the American League, even if you're not having to hit for a pitcher. I think that the batter minimum rule also helps with this application. I think that you give clubs more maneuverability. It's the same reason why I actually am in favor of the extra innings rule. I think that it simplifies things and it eliminates some of the really, really tough situations that come out of extra inning games, maybe for the sake of extra inning games. Like if you have an 18 inning game in the month of May and you have a team that's staring down the barrel of maybe 14 games in the next 15 days, there are going to be consequences from playing that game. There are going to be consequences from having to cover those innings. And I think in a similar way, you actually gain more flexibility and potentially more of the strategic element of the game that some people seem to be so focused on whenever we talk about the DH, if you implement the DH. So I guess that when I ask the question to people like, does an injury to Jack Flaherty impact how you think about the DH and how you think about the potential implementation of the universal DH, the timeline of implementing the universal DH, I shouldn't boil it down to that. The question should be, should or has the handling of pitchers in the National League offensively by clubs and the trends that we've seen in terms of their strikeout rates or almost giving away outs, does that impact at all your feelings about potentially implementing the universal DH or when the universal DH will be implemented? I think for me it does, it has, and it will continue to. And listen, the only thing worse than maybe watching a pitcher that already struggles offensively try to put together an at-bat when they're completely overmatched is when they don't even try to put anything together. And as we're seeing more and more of that, I hope that people realize it's not the end of the world. We adjust, we adapt, we move forward. And as always, in business, in life, but in sports, the teams that take advantage of the new rules, use them to their advantage, and find a competitive advantage within the new normal will be the cream that rises to the top. So, you know, great managers will still have opportunities to be great managers. They'll still have to make the decisions. They'll still have to determine which matchups they like, and they'll still eventually be the ones that were second-guessing or praising or questioning the next day. So I don't think any of that is going to change, even if we change a rule that we've known for so long and permanently adopt the universal DH. All right, going to answer one more mailbag question, and we got a lot of questions about the Cardinals and where they might pivot to following the Jack Flaherty injury, how it might impact not only what they do and how they may look at the next 7 or 8 weeks leading up to the trade market, but how it might also impact the rest of the division and the rest of the National League. So we'll get to that in a moment. Do not forget, like I said, that whether it's been a year, 6 months, 2 years, you should not wait any longer to get a hold of the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. 314-966-5000 or youreyedoc.com. If you go to the website right now, you can see exactly what they do for their patients, and you can see how they can help you regardless of where you are. If you can't get into their offices that are on Manchester, just west of 270, then you can learn more about your telehealth options and setting up an appointment via telehealth so that you can still get the care that you need and the care that your eyes deserve. Your eyes are too important to leave to anyone but the best. And the doctors, Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Prasadi, and Dr. Andrew Royer are called the doctors because more medical professionals in the area trust them than anyone else. So if they are good enough, if they are trusted by medical professionals in the area, shouldn't you trust the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates as well? 314-966-5000. And when you call them, please tell them you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on scoopswithdannymack.com. Even if you don't know where to begin, just give them a little bit of your history with your eyesight, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, and get in or get on the computer to see them. The doctors, doctors, we are proud to broadcast from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios. All right, another a mailbag question that we had pertaining to Jack Flaherty's injury, but I think something that, especially going back even to the beginning of the season, Drew Silva and I have talked a lot about is the Cardinals pitching and the Cardinals pitching depth. I think that we fall into the trap sometimes in spring training of going through the exercise of rattling off, you know, all the pitching depth and all the pitchers that are going to be competing for spots in the rotation or spots in the bullpen. And especially this year and last year with the oddity of the schedule last year and with the starts and stops and with teams, you know, missing time and with the doubleheaders that were really, really pushed through to make sure the teams were able to get the full schedule in before the postseason last year and to make sure that as many games as possible were gotten in for the sake of TV revenue and dollars and the bottom line, we're seeing the fallout from that. I am not sure if or when we will ever get, you know, the study that directly shows the correlation between the oddity of the schedule. I'm sure someone's working on it somewhere. I know individual organizations are working on it. But just really, I guess I should say as fans, I don't know when or if we will fully understand the scope and the impact and the magnitude of the last year and a half and what it means for pitching, what it means for injuries, and what it means for the industry. So with that being said, even before the Jack Flaherty injury, I think that the Cardinals were still in a position where they were going to need to address their pitching if they were going to continue to consider themselves legitimate contenders both in the division and in the National League. And I have to enter this exercise presuming that, you know, they see themselves just as that, because you don't make a move for Nolan Arenado. You don't, you know, kind of push your chips in the way that they did, even if the return to Colorado was maybe not as great as a lot of people around the industry would have guessed. You don't make that kind of move if you don't consider yourself a contender, even if the move is for the bigger picture and not just for this year. So for the premise that, you know, I have to go with the premise that the Cardinals consider themselves contenders, and this is a window of contention, and they are going to try to continue to contend this year. So with that being said, what do we know about the pitching and the pitching depth? We know that Flaherty now is out for who knows how long, but, you know, if you read much and if you get skittish easily, I would maybe caution you from reading too much about oblique injuries, because you can fall down a rabbit hole and really, really scare yourself, I guess, if you're a Cardinal fan. But, you know, Flaherty's going to be out for, I don't know, a decent amount of time leading up to the trade deadline, if not past that. Then you already are without Miles Michaelis. The shoulder, of course, is an area of concern, I think, that has surpassed the elbow, because there's just a lot more unknown about it. You have Adam Wainwright, who has been perhaps the most dependable guy in the rotation over the last year plus, just from an innings and volume standpoint. But he is what he is. His age, his durability, I'm not sure you can count on that. Just like you can't count on anyone, and you can't make any presumptions about what you can, you know, pencil a guy in for. Adam Wainwright comes with that same caveat. You've got KK, you've got Carlos, you've got John Gant, who, you know, has pitched admirably, but a lot of the peripheral numbers show some reason for concern, perhaps, or at least, listen, with all due respect, I love John Gant, but I'm not sure that, you know, you're going to war, or if he's your second or third or fourth guy in a rotation, how good you feel about that. So what do you do to make up for not just the volume of innings? Because we've seen the Cardinals get to a point at recent trade deadlines and get to a point in recent seasons where, you know, they just need to cover innings around the deadline, and they've had to make some moves because of that. But what do you do for quality of innings and quality of arms? What kind of move are you prepared to make? And, you know, taking into account what a potential cost would be, both in dollars and in prospects, what kind of move is the organization positioned to make and perhaps comfortable making. Now, Max Scherzer is the obvious candidate who everyone is going to talk about between now and the trade deadline. And obviously, you know, it's a fun storyline from the St. Louis connection standpoint. He's unbelievable. Just from a pure baseball standpoint, I was thinking about, you know, deadline deals. Like, that would be the biggest deadline deal since what for the Cardinals? You know, if they were able to pull something like that off. And we've seen some big time pieces and big time rotation pieces get traded in recent history. You know, famously, just a couple of years ago, Justin Verlander helping the Houston Astros get over the hump with, you know, that acquisition. I don't even know if you could put into context, all things considered, the ramifications on and off the field, but also from a storyline perspective, like what kind of impact a Max Scherzer deal would have. Now, the flip side of that is, how realistic is it? And how motivated would the Nationals be to move Max Scherzer? I think, obviously, it, you know, bears using the disclaimer that it takes to tango. And sometimes I think when we talk about trades and we talk about potential trades, we get into a mindset where we just assume that a team, you know, is going to move someone. We assume that we know their motivations. We assume that, you know, if it's been rumored, then it must be true. But if you're the Washington Nationals, even though you're 23-30, you're in last place in the NL East, you're only 6.5 games behind the Mets, all right? You're actually further back in the wild card. But if you're 6.5 game behind the Mets, how much will their motivation change? And how much will their potential willingness to move Max Scherzer change on like a series-to-series or even a day-to-day basis moving forward? I think it's a fair question, and I think it is dangerous if we just assume that Max Scherzer is going to be moved, all right? So I want to caution people of that. Like, just thinking that the Nationals have to move Scherzer, so they will move Scherzer, it's not clear that he'll be made available. If that division stays National League Easty, then maybe the Nationals kind of keep playing their cards the way they played them over the last handful of years. And I have to, at least for the time being, if they're within shouting distance of the division, I have to assume that the likely or the more likely scenario is that they'll probably hold on to him. So with that being said, where else could you pivot? John Gray with Colorado, who's going to be a free agent at the end of this year, is, I think, a name you will continue to hear. The Cardinals obviously have some trade history with Colorado, especially with the Nolan Arenado deal. What would it take for the Rockies to try to retain him? What would it take for the Rockies to even offer a qualifying offer? I would think they'll give one to Trevor Story, but, you know, what would it take for the Rockies to even entertain bringing John Gray back? Matthew Boyd with the Tigers is another, I think, similar case. Another close to home guy, perhaps. Maybe Kyle Gibson with the Mizzou connection, if the Rangers decide to move him. But I guess kind of the bottom line is, right now there doesn't seem to be the big time rotation changing, you know, absolute slam dunk stud like Justin Verlander, as long as Max Scherzer might remain with the Washington Nationals. Plenty of under-the-radar guys, plenty of value guys, but listen, this might be a boring kind of line in the sand, but I think as long as the Nationals are around or within arm's length of the National League East, then Max Scherzer remains at the Nationals. Like, what are you doing or you're saying to that fan base a couple of years after winning the World Series? If you're close to contending and forget just not making additions, but you're dealing Max Scherzer, I have a hard time right now seeing that happening. Now, if he becomes available, I push all the chips in. I don't care. I do not care. Give it to me and let's roll out there with Scherzer, hopefully Flaherty. Let's see what happens. But if the question is right now on June 3rd to handicap the likelihood that Max Scherzer is traded and to handicap the likelihood that he is in a Cardinals uniform, I would say 20% chance he's traded, and you can do the math from there. 2%? 20-2? Nah. All right, thanks for your mailbag questions. Again, don't forget, you can always hit me up on Twitter at CHRABE, CHRABE, or email me, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. Leave us a 5-star review on the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast. Send me a screenshot, and I will hook you up with a bounty. Put a bounty on anyone. I'll get you some cards. We are having fun sending a lot of cards out. Big thanks, as always, to you, the listeners, and keep them coming. We'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to a draft tomorrow with Drew Silva and a couple of special guests. So I think this topic has the potential to go all different directions. So looking forward to that. Until tomorrow, this has been another edition of the Chris Rabie Show on Scoops with DannyMac.com. I'm Chris Saying, be nice to each other. As always, peace.